We're going to have our reading now. It's in the church Bibles, which are in the chairs in front of you. And we're reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. And this can be found on page 1220, 1220 of the Bibles. So it's 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 4. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honour is for you who believe. But for those who do not believe, the stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offence. They stumble because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Brilliant, Jess. Thank you very much for reading for us. Please do make sure you got your Bibles open at that reading we've just had, 1 Peter chapter 2. And let me ask for God's help as we begin. Let's pray again. Father God, thank you that you are such a good God. Thank you that you're a speaking God. And we pray that you'd help all of us to listen this morning to learn more of Jesus and how amazing he is, and what it means to be part of his people. In his name we pray. Amen. Is it worth being a Christian? Is it worth being a Christian? I wonder if we've ever thought that. Is it worth being part of God's people? It could be. I'm not going to name anyone, that we've been following Jesus for years and years and years, and life is hard. And if we're honest, and we're just not sure if it's worth it. Or perhaps we're not yet a Christian, and we wonder, why would anyone bother trusting in Jesus in the first place? Well, this morning, Peter, who wrote this letter we're looking at, he tells us why it is such a brilliant thing to be part of God's church, and why we should tell anyone who will listen what an amazing God we have. We're going to look at that passage we've just had read for us in two chunks. The first bit in verses 4 to 8, where Peter is reminding us God's building project is all based on Jesus. God's building project is all based on Jesus. So I think we probably need to imagine, if we can in our mind's eyes, that we're on a building site. So I've got these to just help us imagine we're on a building site. There we go. This, see if this is going to work. There we go, not rip out the mic. There we go. Okay, I got the right size. But just look at verses 4 and 5 again. Can you see it down there? As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So God has a building project. I wonder if we knew that. And like a lot of building sites, there are stones lying all over the place. So if you look down at your Bibles, children, you might need to help your parents with this. How many stones can you find in verses 4 to 8? How many stones can we find in verses 4 to 8? We might say that you can include a rock as a stone. Any ideas how many stones Yes. Eight. Were you going to say eight? There we go. If you're allergic to chocolate or anything else in these, don't eat them. Okay. There we go. Watch. You've got to keep your eyes open. There we go. Brilliant. There we go. So I reckon we can go to the next slide. At least seven stones and one rock. It's a building site, and it's all about this living stone, isn't it? It's all built on him. But we know, don't we, that stones don't live. And so what does Peter mean? Is it like the rock? Here we go. A living stone. Well, no. Get that image out of your head. It's probably very unhelpful. He's talking. We can get rid of the rock. He's talking about Jesus. And that's why he says he's a living stone, because he died on the cross and 3 days later rose to life again. We have a living hope because Jesus is the living stone. But did you spot what else Jesus is called? There's another type of stone. He's a living stone. And what else is he? Anyone spot what else he's called? Yes. The cornerstone. Yes. There we go. Don't get hit in the face. Brilliant. He's the cornerstone. Peter, actually, he quotes from a few places in the Old Testament, all looking forward to God's forever king, who's described as a cornerstone. But does anyone know what a cornerstone is? This is the biggest stone I could find in our house. We use it as a doorstop. Brian, I won't get you to hold this. You're going to hold it. There we go, Brian. You can hold that for me. Thank you. There we go. A cornerstone, even, don't drop it on your toe, even bigger than that. It was the first stone you'd have laid when building a house. Everything else rested on it. It's like the foundations of a building. Jesus is the one God is building his people upon. As people come to Jesus, as they taste and see that the Lord is good, as we trust in Jesus, God is building his church. But it also means we stand or fall on Jesus. Jesus is the one who died so we might be forgiven. He's the one who's risen from the dead so we might have new life. And so only he can be the one God builds his people on. And to reject Jesus is to miss out on being part of God's people. So again, you're going to have to do some quite hard imagining. It's a little bit like you've got to imagine this box is actually really heavy and is the cornerstone. Okay. And most people, when they see Jesus as the cornerstone, they reject him. And that's what the Bible said would happen. That Jesus, have I got that the right way around? I do, I guess. Jesus is rejected. But can you see in our passage, how does God view Jesus, the cornerstone? Well, Peter wants us to know that actually he is chosen and precious to God. Chosen and precious, even though many people reject Jesus. Whether we realize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not, Jesus is God's chosen ruler over all people. And it is on him we stand or fall. Now, just think about it. Rejecting something amazing, well, it says more about you than what you reject, doesn't it? So if I was offered a bar of solid gold, I don't have one here. Al can maybe give one another time. If I had a bar of solid gold and I said, well, no thanks, you wouldn't suddenly start thinking that gold was rubbish. You'd start wondering what was wrong with me. But rejecting Jesus is far more serious. Some of us might know this pain, the pain of stepping on a Lego brick in the middle of the night. Anyone done that? Some people, it is possibly the worst pain in the world. Peter says, actually, we can trip up over Jesus when we don't realize who he is, God's chosen king. When we don't submit to him, it is disastrous. But if we do come to Jesus, then God is building us into a spiritual house. Peter's saying we're the true temple where God dwells and where God is shown to the world. Now, we might not know this, but a few weeks ago, the world record was broken for the highest human pyramid. Did anyone know that? Or we'll get rid of people who can count it. We'll go back a slide. There we go. You're going to guess, you may have got a clue there, how many levels of people it was. How many levels of people? Yes. Five. It was more than five. More than seven. Yes. Not quite as many as 19. No, okay. Take one more. Yes. Did you say 10? Yes, that's good. 10, there we go. Brilliant. Oh, have another one. Don't worry, have another one. Okay, brilliant. 10 levels high. We can have the picture. There we go. Is that what Peter has in mind when he's talking about being built up as a spiritual house? Well, no, not quite. We can get rid of that. It's not that we're precariously balanced on one another. No, we are securely built on Jesus. As we come to Jesus, we're being built into a spiritual house where God dwells by his Spirit, with a true temple where God lives and where the world meets God. It really is worth being part of God's people. So we've just been seeing how God's building project is all based on Jesus. It is what God is doing in the world. We're not built on a bishop or a building, but on Jesus. But for what purpose? Well, we might have spotted, we missed a key bit in verse 5. Anyone else notice that? You see, we're not just the temple. Peter says Christians are also priests who offer spiritual sacrifices. Or as Peter puts it in verse 9, we are God's privileged people who have a purpose to proclaim. If you're a Christian, you are amazingly privileged. Did you know that? Just look at verse 9 again. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We might remember Peter's writing to small groups of Christians scattered all over the place. They felt very isolated and insignificant. So he reminds them just how amazing it is to be part of God's people. And to help us think it through, there are four clues hidden around this building. This slide might help us find them. So if you're under 11, could you give me a hand, find one of the four clues around the building? There we go. Any of the four clues. There we go. You might want to look over that way. You might need help. Run that up. Brilliant. You're going to hold that up the front. Do you want to hold it up here for me? Brilliant, girls. Where do you take one of those each as well? Oh, brilliant. Can you hold it up? Can you hold that for me? Do you happy to hold it there? There we go. I'll give you one of those for afterwards. Do you want to put that in there? There we go. We've got a crown as well. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. There we go. Thanks, Eliza. You can have the chocolate as well as the crown. Excellent, excellent. So what have we got here? You know, chocolate each. Brilliant. I think we've got our four clues. Okay. So, and we've got a football. What does a football help us give us a clue to? Well, here we go. Just like the England manager chooses his players to win his team, so Christians are a chosen race. But God doesn't choose the best players to be on his team. Did you spot in verse 10? And we're not any better than anyone else. We're just those who've received God's mercy. We were in darkness. I bet God chose us. Peter's talked about coming to Jesus in verse 4. But we only come to Jesus because God first chose us. Then we've got a crown. Eliza, you're sporting a wonderful crown there, held together with some sellotape. You see, Peter says that we are a royal priesthood. And not only priests offering up our lives as spiritual sacrifices to God, but also royal, co-heirs with Christ. How amazing is that? And then we've got a mug. Can you see what it says in the mug? I couldn't find one of those "this belongs to Thomas" mugs. It said it's a Mr. Strong mug. Belongs to one of my children. I'm not going to tell you which one. You can guess. It is a mug for someone's special use. Caleb, I'll get it back to you afterwards. You could say it is a holy mug set apart for Caleb's use. And so we are a holy nation set apart for God's special use. There are no holy places in the New Testament, but there are holy people, all believers in Jesus Christ, who are part of this new temple, a holy nation. And then what was the last clue we had? But a cuddly toy, yes, a donkey, I think it is. Again, you'll have to guess which one of my children this belongs to, but it is a treasured possession. Maybe you've got a cuddly toy that goes everywhere with you, a treasured possession that you wouldn't be without. So Christians are a people for God's own possession. He loves us so much, he even sent his son to die for us. And you know what? All of these descriptions of God's people, they're there in the Old Testament. And Peter says they're now true of Christians. We have a super special status. We are the true people of God, the privileged people of God. And it is meant to shine out. Now, I think you've done really well. Let me take the props back in. And you guys can grab a seat. Well done, well done, well done. I'll take the crown as well. I'm so sorry. Not really sorry. There we go. I'm done. Excellent. So we're going to move out from the building site, and now we're going to imagine we're in a jewellery store. Okay, some of us might spend more or less time in a jewellery store. And I want us to imagine the biggest diamond. This is the kind of biggest one I could find. It's not real, I'm sorry. And the biggest diamond we can. Okay, let me put that there. It's going to stay there. Now diamonds, I take it, are really expensive. They're really precious. They're really valuable, a bit like God's people. In fact, God's people are infinitely more special, infinitely more valuable and precious. But just bear with me, because diamonds, when you think about it, they also have a purpose, don't they? You don't leave them in a drawer. They're meant to shine and sparkle. They don't have any light of their own, but they refract the light that shines on them. So we know, don't we? What happens when pure, brilliant white light shines on a diamond? Well, it sparkles. And it's a little bit like what Peter says our purpose is here, that you may proclaim the excellences of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, if we're part of God's new people, his privileged people, then we get to tell others just how good God is. The bright light of God's goodness shines on us in the gospel. And so we open our mouths and speak. God's excellences mean how amazing and awesome and good and powerful and loving and kind God is. It means telling people about Jesus and his death on the cross. So as we close, did we spot how one of the key spiritual sacrifices we offer, verse 5, it is speaking of Jesus? It includes proclaiming God's brilliance to God in song and in prayer, proclaiming his amazingness to one another, and proclaiming his awesomeness and goodness to the world. God is building his people as we speak of Jesus. Now, why don't we ask one another later on in what ways we can speak of God's excellences this week? Maybe telling someone at the bus stop or on the school bus about Jesus, inviting a friend to church or Christianity Explored to hear more, WhatsApping one another a Bible verse to encourage another Christian, singing a song full of Bible truth as we're in the car together. Is it worth being a Christian? Well, Peter says absolutely, 100%. You're chosen, royal, holy, treasured by God. You're built on Jesus, the solid cornerstone. He'll never let you down, ever. And our job? Well, it is to sparkle, to speak, to proclaim to everyone just how brilliant God is. And that's not just worth it. It is the greatest privilege in the world. Let me lead us as we pray together. Father God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you that he is the living stone. Thank you that he is the cornerstone. And thank you that if we come to him, if we trust in him, we will never be let down and we can have absolute security and confidence in him. Please would we realize how precious we are in Jesus and tell everyone who'll listen about what an amazing God you are. We ask it in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen.